Welcome again to our studies on the kings of Judah as we consider their character, their abilities, and their productivity. In other words, what did they do in life? What was their message? What was their impact upon their generation and upon our lives as we study them? Well, we're coming now to two kings, Manasseh and Amon. And of Manasseh, we say he was a wicked king who found repentance. A wicked king who found repentance. Whilst Amon, his son, is designated as one who forsook the Lord. Now let's get into the genealogy of Manasseh. Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. And he came to the throne at the age of 12. And that really is not good, because an inheritance quickly gotten is not blessed in the end. That's what King Solomon said. You know, King Solomon came to the throne at the tender age of 19, and the end of his life was not good. Well, Manasseh came at the age of 12, and Manasseh was birthed in the time of the apostasy of Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. If you remember the previous tape, we spoke of this wonderful king Hezekiah and all his good works and how he laid hold upon God for his so great salvation and brought the nation of Israel to that place of celebrating the Passover, celebrating the salvation of God. Well, Hezekiah had that remarkable healing. Hezekiah also experienced great deliverance by the angel of the Lord who came forth and slew the army of Assyria, 185,000 in one night, camped around Jerusalem. And obviously, Manasseh experienced all those wonderful stories and heard about them, and no doubt he was greatly encouraged by them. But, you know, we all make decisions. Now, Hezekiah had a father, Ahaz, who was a wicked man, but he looked at his father and said, I'm not going to walk in those ways. And so what happened? Well, what happened was that he decided to walk the narrow path with God, walking in pathways of righteousness and goodness. And God blessed him. Now, Manasseh looks at the life of Hezekiah, and what happens? He makes a choice to walk rather in the ways of his grandfather, Ahaz. And it was a lamentable decision, because he filled Jerusalem with the idols. He filled Jerusalem so it was washed by the blood of the innocent. It was a terrible, terrible time in Judah. Manasseh had been influenced by those princes that were not walking uprightly, you know, were walking in the ways of the heathen. And so, in a sense, Manasseh took the whole nation away from God, and there was absolute wickedness on every hand. Well, now, what happens? God had spoken to Hezekiah. Now we have to understand that God knows the end from the beginning. And so he could declare the things that have not yet happened as though they had already happened. But what did God say to Hezekiah? Well, God said to Hezekiah, you know, because of your disobedience at the end of his life, when he was lifted up in pride and did not render unto God for all the goodness that God had done for him, God said, well, your sons will be taken into Babylonian captivity. We don't read a lot in the Word of God concerning all the specifics there, but we are told that after a time, you know, God sent prophet after prophet after prophet to Manasseh, warning him of what was going to happen if he did not turn back to God. But Manasseh would not listen to those prophets. And so what God had said to Hezekiah came to pass, that his sons, Manasseh, the principal one, of course, the king, and his brothers, were taken into Babylonian captivity. And also all the treasures that Hezekiah had regaled in. And Hezekiah, you know, had almost coveted. We find this. This is what happened. That, in effect, all those treasures were taken into Babylonian captivity. And so Judah was impoverished. Well, he was treated very harshly, was Manasseh, in Babylon. And the result was he was put in irons. He was put in fetters. His life was made very hard indeed. And in this time of captivity, he cried unto the Lord, and he humbled himself, and he wept as he considered all his sins and how he had ignored the prophets that God had sent to him. Well, his weeping, his cries were heard, and God came forth. And we're not told all the details, but we are told one thing, that Manasseh was restored to his throne. How that took place, Scripture is silent. And if Scripture is silent, we don't try and probe the unfathomable. But we accept simply what Scripture wants us to know, that Manasseh was restored unto his throne. Well, the restoration of Manasseh to his throne had an impact upon the whole nation, because the heart of Manasseh had now been changed. And Manasseh, instead of being impious, instead of ignoring the warnings of the prophets, is now seeking to walk in the ways of God. And the result was he gave orders throughout all Judah that idolatry was to be removed. The house of the Lord was to be cleansed, because he had actually put idols into the house of the Lord. He had desecrated God's holy temple, the temple that Solomon had built on the directions of David, who received the plan from God. And this holy temple he had desecrated, but when he got back, he gave orders that that temple was to be cleansed, and with the result was that he started turning the inhabitants back to God. But you know, when people are set in their ways, you know, often it's very difficult to get them out of that rut. And it was a rut that Manasseh himself had placed them in. And so whilst Manasseh himself was indeed seeking to walk with God, yet he was having a lot of problems with the inhabitants of Judah. And so basically what we have is leadership had made a distinct turn, and they were determined to walk with God. The people were somewhat reluctant. Now, there's something else that we have to learn in life. You know, it's what we might term the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin. You know, we have the thought, well, we come to Jesus, we confess our sins, and we are forgiven. And that is perfectly true. But there are the consequences of sin that we still have to live with. For example, those who've lived a very ungodly life, those who've been on drugs, those who perhaps have been imbibing strong drink when they are teenagers. You know, they come to the Lord, yes, they are forgiven, but there are the consequences of sin. You see, we are told medically that if one drinks strong drink when it's a teenager, it does shrivel the mind. And obviously, if one has gone into deep sin and contracted AIDS and so forth, yes, you come to the Lord and you are forgiven, but the consequences of those sins remain. Those that have been on drugs, they may have, you know, repented and received forgiveness, but you know, the consequences of that drug life remain with them. Well, that is an important factor to understand. You know, some young people say, they come from a godly family, they say, well, yes, I will sow my wild oats and then I'll come to the Lord and he'll forgive me and everything will be fine. Well, I wouldn't count on it, because I want to say something about Manasseh. You see, Manasseh had filled Judah and Jerusalem with sin. Yes, he had been taken into Babylonian captivity, and he had repented, and he'd come back. But the consequences of those sins remained. And God was forever saying, you know, at that time and later, because of the sinfulness of Manasseh, then Judah would eventually go into captivity, the temple would be destroyed, and Jerusalem would be overrun. You see, the consequences of sin we must not ignore. Forgiveness is one thing, consequences is something else. And unfortunately, you see, for Manasseh, he had left a legacy, yes, of sin that God remembered and God could not ignore. And so whilst God could forgive Manasseh and accept Manasseh, those sins that he had indeed done, and Jerusalem and Judah with him, were before the Lord, and God said, because of them, you know, I have to remove Jerusalem, I have to remove Judah into captivity, because I have to purge the land of those sins. So when we're considering these kings, we're considering the character. Manasseh, a wicked man who repented and turned back to God. And you know, he had one of the longest reigns of all the kings of Judah who ever lived. 55 years on the throne. 55 years on the throne, which would have made him 67 when he died. And you know, only King David made it to 70, Solomon to about 59, and so forth. And all the other kings considerably younger. And God, in his mercifulness, and in his long suffering permitted Manasseh a long life to indeed deal with those sins and repent. But the consequences of those sins, you see, remained. The legacy that Manasseh left was God's judgment, impending judgment, that was going to come on future generations. And so I just want to give you a very solemn warning. You know, forgiveness is one thing, but the consequences of sin is something else. It remains. And it's important that we understand that. We have to deal with it, and we have to ask God to cleanse us from it. But nonetheless, we're going to suffer from the consequences of previous sins in our body and so forth. Now then, I want to now look at the son of Manasseh. The son of Manasseh was Amon. And we are told concerning Amon that he was one who forsook the Lord. Now, I want to look at this word forsook with you, because what it means is someone was on the path of righteousness and then left that path of righteousness. Now, obviously, Amon, you know, had been greatly influenced. And after all, he was only about, what was it, 23, 24 years of age, something like that. Anyway, 20, something like that. Very young. Obviously, this is what happened. That whilst his father was still living, his father, in his repentant mood, was having a very strong influence upon Amon, such that Amon was walking with the Lord. And that was very good. So we can assume that in his early teens, up to the end of his, shall I say, teenage experience, he was walking with God. He was a godly young man. He was influenced by his father, he was under the mantle of his father, and he was walking with God, and he was seeking to please God in the things that he did. In other words, he obviously, for the Old Testament, parlance, he was saved, he was walking with Jehovah. And this is the problem, you see. When Manasseh died, he became king. Well, we're told at that time, there's only 2 years on the throne, at that time, he left the ways of God, he forsook God, and he followed the young men of his days, and they went into deep idolatry. They went into deep idolatry, and God sent prophets to him to warn him, just like he had sent prophets to his father Manasseh, and warned him. But we are told that he trespassed more and more. The more he was warned, the more he went into sin. And 2 years later, well, there was a conspiracy against him, and he was assassinated by his servants. Now then, you see, Amon causes us deep distress. Character, at the beginning, he was upright, a lovely young man. And then, when he became ruler, he listened to the advice of the other young men, went into idolatry, ignored the prophets, and the end was, well, he went to hell. So we have Manasseh, who started badly, repented, and ended up in heaven. And those of us who are going to heaven, we shall see Manasseh there, but we won't see Ammon. Now, I want to concentrate for a few moments on this awful tragedy of the life of Ammon. You see, I'm 80 years of age, and I've seen so much. And one of the things that has grieved me is this, that we have children in our Sunday school classes worldwide, you see, and they give their hearts to the Lord, and they walk with God, and as teenagers, you know, they have friends in the church, and so they socialize with them, and they're walking with God. And then comes the time when they have to go out alone into the world. And there they are influenced. And instead of remaining true to their roots, they leave the pathway of God and go into sin. See, I'm thinking of a lady at this moment. And of course, that's as vague can be. Well, this is a testimony of this lady. She said that when she was a teenager, she was a worship leader, she was on fire for God, she was a member of the church, yes, but of the young people's group. She worshipped the Lord, she sung the songs of Zion, she was full of love for the Lord. And then she went to college. And there in college, instead of, you know, declaring her faith in Christ, she hid it. And the result was that she flowed with those girls that were not good. And the result, tragedy came into her life. And ever afterwards, you know, even when she came back from college, you know, she did not return to church. And regretfully, you see, so many start well. So many are like Ammon, who forsook the law of the Lord. They forsook the Lord. They left the Lord. And so what was their character? Their character was simply summed up. Like Ammon's, they forsook the Lord. And this is one of the things that we have to realize, that the Word of God, the Bible, basically is only read by believers, not the unbeliever. But as we look into the Bible, we see warnings after warnings after warnings. The book of Proverbs is full of warnings concerning immorality, of young girls, you know, forsaking the teachers of their youth, going into immorality, and leading young men in that way. And this is what King Solomon said, you know, stolen waters are sweet. You know, it seems that that life is very pleasant indeed, the life of immorality. But then he goes on to say this, none considering that her guests, the guests of those young women who have left the ways of God, those guests are in the deepest hell. You know, my concern is this, not how you start, but how you finish. And oh, how important it is to stay on the path of righteousness, not to turn to the right, not to turn to the left. And you know, one of the main things that we are warned of in the Psalms, in Psalm 1, you can all remember Psalm 1, you know, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth with the sinners, or standeth with the sinners, nor sitteth with the scorners. You know, how important it is that we understand that those that we walk with will determine our ultimate destiny. And it says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. And so, I want to give a warning to the young. You know, if you want to know yourself, look at your friends. They are your mirror. And oh, may God grant that you will hearken to this warning about King Ammon, who walked with God while his father was alive. But then when the mantle of his father was no longer there, no longer was the father guiding him, well, he went with the young men. He forsook the Lord, even though God warned him. And today, where is Ammon? He is in hell. And hell is a terrible place. I've been there. I've been there on many occasions. God has shown me hell in many, many circumstances. And you see, my great desire is to save you from hell. In other words, that you do not turn to the right or to the left, but you stay on the course. And so that is the lesson of King Ammon, that you be not like him, for he forsook the Lord. May you stay with the Lord and stay on the pathway of righteousness, that, you know, your influence on people will be godly and that you will be fruitful because you will influence others to stay on the path of righteousness. May God bless you, and that you be, well, like Manasseh, you know, at the end, he was good, he's in heaven. Ammon, his son, is in hell. May God grant you be in heaven. God bless you.